Today on We Really Like Musicals and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. We're talking about Waitress. Sugar Butter Podcast? Dear baby, today we're joining Club Knocked Up as we talk about what baking can do for you. Take it from an old man. It's a bad idea to have an affair with your doctor, even if you didn't plan on it. One thing's for sure, you're never ever getting rid of me, and we're never ever getting rid of our theme song. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and...
I'm Elise.
And guys, it's 2018. It's the year of going with that.
Oh, yes. Yes,
I'll go with that. Isn't that what it was? Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes, I do remember that one. They get a little fuzzy, but I remember that one.
Well, guys, this week, we are talking about the musical Waitress, a.k.a. You know what this pie needs? Adultery, the musical. Thanks at RG Richards 10 for that alternate title.
That is a good one.
RG Richards 10 coming in with another great title. Coming in hot, like a hot pie.
Out of the oven.
There was a alternate title I wanted to go with, Sugar Butter Pop-Tarts. I don't know why that made me laugh, but... You know, sometimes we come across alternate titles that are, they're funny, but not really applicable.
I feel like I wanted maybe an explanation, but then again, I guess that'd make it less funny.
Right. All right. Well, we have a special guest here today with us. Nathan Daughtry. I said it wrong already. Daughtry.
There we go.
Nathan Daughtry is here. Nathan, how's it going?
Going pretty good. How about yourself?
You know what? Couldn't be better. Well, that's not entirely true. I guess everybody could be. Yeah. So, Nathan, I'm so glad to have you here. You reached out to us. What? And you said you wanted to be part of the show.
Yeah.
We gave you a list of some musicals, and you picked this one. Why?
You know, it's funny. Actually, when I went to New York, I believe it was the fall of 2016.
Okay.
And this was one of the shows that I saw when I was there. And it was one of my, you know, favorites while I was visiting New York because it was just so good. And I got to see it with most of the original cast. The only person I believe that was out was Kimiko Glenn. She was not there playing Dawn at that time. She had already left. So we saw Jenna Ushkowitz from Glee. She was actually in playing Dawn when we saw it.
Interesting.
But it was just such a great show. And of all the choices that you gave me, I'm like, you know, I know the most about this one, so might as well chime in.
That's awesome. It's so good to have somebody that's actually seen it. You know, we see like bits and pieces here and there, and you know, you find things online and just YouTube clips and stuff. But it's we found this out with a lot of musicals that we've done. But like, we're like, that was pretty good. I really want to see it live because I bet it's 10 times better when you're actually there experiencing it.
And that's, I mean, in this day and age, I remember back when I was a kid and trying to find bootlegs and shows and like seeing recordings online. I remember I would buy recordings and have them mailed to my house because back in the day, I couldn't just go on YouTube and or go on one of the, you know, trading sites and see it there because obviously I couldn't go to New York whenever I wanted to as a kid. So I just had to take whatever I had. I only knew bits and pieces of certain shows.
Yeah.
And then I would either do the show myself or see another production of it. Yeah, so I mean, it was great to see. It was my very first trip to New York, and I saw six shows while I was there.
Wow.
And it was very expensive, but it was definitely worth it. So,
yeah, that's awesome. So
yeah, Waitress was a great show.
Yeah, so you have, I mean, you're very involved in musical theater. What's kind of like your background? Like, because, I mean, this is our first time meeting. Like, who are you?
You know, right? Well, I stumbled upon your podcast because a long time ago, I used to do my own theater podcast. It was actually a live internet radio show.
Cool.
And I enjoyed doing it. So I actually was looking around for other podcasts to get involved with. And I've been a music director and musical performer for the last 20 years. I work, actually, we're somewhat close to you. I actually work over in the Tampa Bay area.
Right.
And over in Clearwater, I work at a theater called Francis Wilson Playhouse, which is actually where I'm in right now. I'm in my dressing room at the theater right now.
Very nice. Very real. Gritty.
It is real. We're about to do a performance of Carousel, but I've done about 20 shows here, different musicals. And it's something that I just love to do and I love to talk about. I'm huge on musical theater history, so I do a lot of research. I'm that nerd who just learns every in and out of every show,
right?
All the history of it, where it played, who was in it. I can name off composers and people who are in shows till I get blue in the face, but it's just a, you know, fun hobby of mine. I've been singing for a very, very long time, and I love doing it.
So, Elise, waitress.
I'm not a waitress.
Oh, boy. You're not? What do you do?
I do this podcast.
This is what really, you do?
Yeah.
How do you survive?
It's not paying the bills very well. I'm homeless currently, actually. So, mm-hmm. If you guys could give us money.
Buy our merchandise.
Yeah, but also, I'm not afraid to DM you my PayPal or whatever.
And that's what I liked about Waitress as well.
Sorry, what was the actual question? I forgot it now.
This was the first time we watched Waitress. So what do you think about it?
Yes. I was really excited about this one because I really like Sarah Bareilles. I didn't know anything about the plot. Not super impressed with the plot.
Already getting into it. Whoa.
I'm sorry. It is, you asked. But the music, I think, makes it completely worth it.
Yeah. It's very good
Wouldn't
music.
You say?
I would say.
Oh, good.
Could you maybe, like, for somebody that's not familiar with Waitress, kind of like give them a synopsis of what is Waitress?
Sure. Waitress was a movie at first. So it was first a movie, then turned into a musical. The movie was in 2007 by Adrian Shelley.
Right. Have you seen it?
Murdered. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I've seen clips and whatnot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to actually see the full thing yet, but I went online and I found a good chunk of the movie. And it's a lot campier in the movie than it is in the actual show, surprisingly enough. It got a little less campy when it went to Broadway, which is fun.
Yeah.
Because usually it's the other way around. But Waitress is, you know, it started off, like I said, in the movie, as a movie in 2007. The story of, it's Jenna, and she is a waitress. She works at a pawn shop, and she's in a bad relationship with her husband. And it's just your typical, you know, bad husband, woman who wants to try to get out of it but can't sort of story.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and she, you know, tries to win a pie contest and you get a grand prize. And there's just a lot of different, you know, things. And now she finds out she's pregnant. Spoiler alert.
That's okay. We love spoilers on this show. I mean, you can't avoid them on a podcast like this.
No, especially when you're going through the entire show and what you think about it.
Right.
You know, it's tough to avoid. But the show first, you know, premiered back in 2015. I believe it was American Repertory Theater did a production of it. And just to, you know, obviously workshop it out. And then it went to New York, and it's still running to this day with lots of great stars. Jason Mraz and Sarah Bareilles are in it. Right, yeah. Now, I believe she has one more week left playing the part. And then it's going to move over to, what is her name? Catherine McPhee from American Idol. And Smash will be taking over the part of Jenna coming up from Sarah Bareilles.
Very interesting. I'd like to see, I haven't seen any of Jason Mraz in that role yet. So I've seen a few of the clips of the other guys that were involved with it, but not Jason Mraz yet.
We got to see the original Dr. Pometer, Drew Gelling. He was amazing. He was fantastic. I've seen clips and videos of Jason Mraz, and I was pretty pleasantly surprised. I didn't know that he had that kind of Broadway-style voice. I obviously know him for, you know, the stuff that he's done in the pop world, but
right.
Not much in theater, which is great. And I mean, it defies the odds because people didn't necessarily think that Sarah Bareilles was be fantastic on Broadway, but she's definitely is.
How would you describe the music in this?
You know what?
What?
I think, okay, so I don't really know what you would classify Sarah Bareilles' music as, but there were several songs that I was like, oh yeah, like this is totally Sarah Bareilles' style. She's like very upbeat piano. I don't know what you'd call her. Like, it's not jazzy.
Piano pop? Piano
yeah.
Pop rock, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would call it that.
Pop rocks.
Is that what you're saying it is, or are you just guessing?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's set in the South. I think there's a bit of country influence in it.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Not like really in-your-face country, but it's got some country influences that that stick out. And I would say, like, I was unfamiliar with Sarah Bareilles. So, I mean, you said you like her music. I'm like, what? Who? What?
Yeah, you asked who, what?
I said lots of words that were questions. What?
Yeah, there you go again. I really don't know how you didn't know about her, to be honest with you. But
who is she? What's she from? Just a singer?
Yeah, singer-songwriter. And you know the song Love Song. You know that song. I'm not going to write you a love song.
Oh, that's her?
Because you asked for it. Yeah.
So that's her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that song.
Okay, but that's because it got overplayed.
No, well, no. Maybe for you, that's why you don't like it. For me, it's just...
I still like it.
Oh, okay. Whoa.
So for you, you never liked it?
No, it's not really my style. But I will say, I feel like now that you say that, I do hear that influence in this musical, that's similar style. And it works in the musical. Like, it's not something I would listen to on my own, but it does, when you're in the moment in the musical, it fits.
I think she's a cool gal.
Yeah. And she's going to be Mary Magdalene in the new Jesus Christ Superstar Live, which we will be talking about.
Yeah. So I'm glad she's kind of getting into musicals now. I think that that's really neat.
I think it's a good avenue for her, too.
Yeah. So now you've gone from didn't know anything about Sarah Bareilles to her number one fan.
Yeah.
Just say yes.
I mean, yes.
I mean, a lot of, you know, people who were in the rock world or in the pop world that ended up writing for Broadway did pretty well, alike to Sarah Bareilles. Mm. And, you know, it's when they can convert over to Broadway and not lose the Broadway sound, I think it's great. Because, I mean, they only use a six-piece orchestra, I believe. They only use, from what I remember seeing, it was a piano, bass, cello, guitar, drums, and something else, I can't remember. Right. And it was like a small, and the orchestra, but it was funny, the orchestra was on a platform that would, like, slide in and out.
Really?
And when they were in the shop, the band, you know, slid in, and then they would go off. Yeah, it was really, really neat. I loved the way that they did it. And the band was dressed in, like, regular day clothes. They weren't, you know, stuffy all black and all that sort of stuff. And they were getting into it, too, which I thought was amazing. It was kind of like they had a house band that was just following the musical around.
That's really cool.
I thought it was fantastic.
Very cool. Well, speaking of the songs, we always talk about favorite song, least favorite song. So what would you say is your favorite song in Waitress?
Oh, God. Because... I'm so, you know, I absolutely love his character. I think Never Ever Getting Rid of Me is my favorite.
That's my favorite, too.
That's the part that I would love to play. The second that I saw it, I remember we were sitting in the theater, and I was seeing the show, and I usually play a lot of comedy roles. My wife looks at me, and she goes, you got to do this part someday. When the rights become available for amateur community theaters, you need to play this part.
Right.
And I love Christopher Fitzgerald and all the shows that he's done. From Wicked and Young Frankenstein and all of that, I followed him for a long time.
Yeah.
And I got to see him perform it live. And it's such an energetic, hilarious number, and it became one of my favorites. It's not, my actual favorite in the show.
So you saw it live, and I've only seen bits of that live, like on YouTube live. But from what I could tell, people go crazy when that song is on. And like...
Oh, my God.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. The applause for that number... easily went on for a minute when it was happening. I remember, and I was a part of it. I literally stood up.
Yeah.
And I was in the balcony, so I wasn't like in the way of anybody. And I remember just standing up, and we all did. Everybody stood up in my section and gave him a standing ovation after that number, because the amount of movement that he has is so funny.
Yeah.
There's an Irish jig. Like it was, and he did everything so perfectly, so fresh, so crisp, as if it was his first time doing it. And it was amazing. He became, when I saw him live, he became one of my favorite male Broadway performers, for sure.
My favorite song, you know. Tell him what my favorite song is.
Is it the one you keep bringing up?
Yeah.
What is that called? When He Sees Me?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. And I'm very obsessed with that song.
And this is with, it's not the main character singing. It's the, I forget
what's her name?
Boy. We're bad musical podcast hosts. It's the kind of dorky girl that ends up with Ogie is the guy's name.
His name is Ogie?
Yeah.
What? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Is it Dawn?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Jenna's the main character.
Right.
And Dawn is the dorky girl.
So what do you like about When He Sees Me?
Well, I mean, I love the way it starts because it's very entertaining. She's freaking out about meeting new people and going on dates and that sort of thing. Like the beat's like going really fast and it's a really odd beat, which is just interesting. And she's like pumping ketchup into a mustard bottle. and stuff that, which I just thought was very funny. And then it just, the chorus hits and it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that song is so beautiful, like the melody of it.
I think I said this when we were watching it, but I found her love story with Ogie more interesting than the actual main character's story with the affair with her doctor and all that stuff.
Well, because those characters are really captivating. Like, Jenna's a very, I mean, she doesn't really have that much of a personality besides just being good at baking and going through an interesting chapter in her life, I feel like.
Well, some lonely pie maker out there just got real sad that you said that.
If you're going to be good at baking, that's cool, but like also have more to yourself than just that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I mean, she had a lot going on. She's pregnant. Her husband's not treating her well. You know, maybe in a life like that, it's hard to have your own personality, you know? It gets squelched.
Oh, can this be the year of getting squelched?
Ooh, 2018, the year of getting squelched.
I like that because it's a really nice big word.
And it's also a fun word to say because it's one of those big words that also sounds like a little kid word.
Mm-hmm.
You feel smart when you say it, but you also feel a little childish.
Because it also sounds like squish.
Yeah, I just got squelched.
Click. What is it?
Cicero.
Cicero.
Squelch.
There you go. That's good. That is good. That's our next parody.
But I will say there's another song that I really enjoy. It's not my favorite.
Wait,
but
can I guess?
Sure, yeah.
Is it the song I Love You Like a Table?
No, that's another Ogie song.
Oh, okay.
I did like that one too. I Love You Like a Table. Because like what?
Yeah, exactly. Who?
No, it was, it's near the beginning. It's called What Baking Can Do. I think that's a really good song.
Can you sing a little bit of that?
Nope. But it, when the beat comes in, it's like, dun, 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 dun. Like, that's when the chorus comes in. It's just like,
ooh.
This really like, it makes me think of Elton John and the, Benny and the Jets type of beat, you know?
That's the one where she's like, sugar, butter.
I think she does sing that. She sings Sugar,
she
Butter,
sings
Flour
that in
like
every
seven
song?
Different songs. Yeah.
Is that the one where it's like,
make it clever, craft it into pieces.
But then it goes into, I can fix this or something.
So what about a least favorite song? And I have to say, we always say, just because it's your least favorite song doesn't mean it's a bad song. So a little disclaimer. But like, just out of all the songs, do you have like a least favorite song?
Oh, God. Yeah, probably. I find the negative annoying. And it's just because it's so, I don't know, to me it's a little kitschy and a little just weird lyrically. But,
right.
I mean, it's a funny song, but it definitely is probably my, of all the songs, and there's so many of them, that would probably be my least favorite of all.
And can you remind me what, is this where they're in the bathroom, right?
Yes, that's where they're in the bathroom, and she's talking about her pregnancy test.
Right, that's
and they're making a lot of weird pregnancy jokes, and she reads the instructions of the pregnancy test in Spanish, and it says something about a vagina, and I'm like, okay, this is funny, this is filler. All right.
I'm gonna go with You Matter to Me.
So what's happening in You Matter to Me? Set the scene.
I don't know. But basically the doctor is singing to / with Jenna, the waitress. Basically, they're just saying, hey, you matter to me.
Is this the one where they're on the bench?
No, that's the beginning when they're talking about a taste. You don't know. Sometimes it only takes a taste
if only
to know that you want more of the thing you just got a taste of. That confuses me.
Sorry, my throat.
You okay?
Yeah, so I was just...
You should have gotten that water.
Yeah. I wanted to say I feel squelched, but that's not the right terminology for that situation.
No, yeah, you just use it whenever. It doesn't have to be right.
I couldn't squelching agree
just,
more.
Just squelch it.
Squelch everything, you know?
Whoa, what's your language?
Yeah, my least favorite song. Can you guess my least favorite song?
Yes, I know your least favorite song. Your least favorite song is You Would Still Be Mine.
You Will Still Be Mine.
You'll Still Be Mine.
Yeah.
And tell us why you hate that song so much.
Because it's bad.
Oh, hadn't thought of it
it's
like that.
It's a bad song. This is the...
You just want to squelch it.
I want to squelch it right up. I don't know where I was going with that sentence. So I don't like this song because this is her husband, her abusive husband. Ooh. He's like, basically like, you know what? You're going to be my wife like forever and always or whatever. Mm. But he's just a total jerk to her. But here's the problem. It's
Nickelback.
It sounds like Nickelback, which me and a lot of friends, there's this term that goes around called butt rock. This is very much a butt rock song.
Butt
rock, as in
U-T-T.
Yes.
So like it's butt.
It's butt. Complete butt.
You couldn't think of it. Any clever.
Well,
cleverer
we didn't think
name.
Of it. That's a. I think that's a very popular term. It's an actual term. Butt rock is a genre, and I would put this in that category. Just not my thing. And I know it's like kind of trying to represent the character of the
He's
husband.
He's a Nickelback character.
He is. That's who he
That's
is.
All he
He's
is.
A rock and roll jerk that kind of never grew up. And and so I get it. But like, even when we were watching it, you started like jamming your head a little bit to that song. And I was like, no, I'm going to have to stop you. You are not
to
allowed
fair,
to like this song.
To be fair, I probably jammed like every song.
Yeah, that's true. You do have like, what am I trying to say?
Happiness.
You have happiness. No, I just, I have a very strict criteria, which, I mean, I still like a lot of music, but I think I'm a little bit more picky. And so, yeah, when you started bobbing your head, I was like,
Well, I think at that point, her husband had not sung yet. Sang,
squelched.
Oh, he hadn't squelched yet. And so I just... I was excited because I was like, oh, he's getting his song now. Let's do this. And then B, once it started, I knew what kind of song it was going to be. And I liked the fact that they were giving him this weird, like, country rock type of vibe song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that was good for his character.
I will say, unfortunately, when I saw it, the guy who played it in the original cast, Nick Cordero, was not in it because he moved over to doing A Bronx Tale on Broadway. It was right literally across the street. And the guy who was playing Earl that night was not good. And I don't want to say not good. He was not my favorite. He did it so very country redneck that it was almost too... I couldn't believe it at all. Like, yeah. I did not believe his character. I did not want to feel for his character. He just seemed like an abusive, you know what. So
yeah.
It didn't come off to me. Because I kind of like that song just when the way that Nick Cordero did it. I think it was just him that I liked doing it. But yeah, I could see, I guess, because that song kind of flies out of nowhere and it's a character nobody likes, so they kind of just wave it off.
Right. I would like to see, I can't remember, I don't think it was on Broadway yet, but Andy Carl was, he did that role?
Oh, did he really?
He did.
Yeah, I like Andy Carl a lot. I followed him when he did Edwin Drood and Groundhog Day.
We actually did an episode about Groundhog Day recently and I really enjoyed his performance in that. And I was like, I'd like to see him in the role of this abusive husband.
He's great.
I want to play Fact or Faked with you.
Okay, let's do it.
I would love to.
All right, play that theme song.
Fact or Faked.
That's a fact, baby. I think you're actually going to be good at this. So what we do is I'll give you three facts, and one of them's fake. So you got to figure out which one is the fake fact.
Okay.
Okay, here's your first fact. To help immerse audiences... Real pies are warming as they enter the theater, creating the aroma of a pie shop.
Hmm. Okay.
Second fact.
Mm-hmm.
Dakin Matthews, who played Old Joe, made his acting debut on the TV show Happy Days.
Okay.
Third fact. On opening night on Broadway, Sarah Bareilles was quoted as saying, "The air feels like champagne to me."
Okay.
Man.
So those are your three facts. So we got a pie, the theater smells like pies, Old Joe on Happy Days, and Sarah Bareilles thinks the air feels like champagne.
So I feel like Old Joe being on Happy Days sounds very real, but I feel like you also would know that I wouldn't know.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I go with all of these. I try to pick rude. Stuff that you wouldn't know.
I think Sarah would say the thing about champagne because maybe she means like that it's just a very exciting experience for her and it's like her first time doing something like really big and so she's just like, woohoo. So yeah, I'm ready to vote.
All right. I hope my my history knowledge is helping me here.
All right, what are you going with?
I'm voting that the pie thing is fake.
I know for a fact that it smells like pie because it did, and it was amazing.
Really? The theater smells like pies.
I mean, I think that's a great idea. I'm glad they do that.
I think the lie is his debut on Happy Days.
I think you're correct.
Really?
Okay, good. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I was right.
Real pies are warming, and they're on sale.
It was really interesting because now the theater lobby is really small. It's smaller than what people would think. Mm-hmm. It's just like one little corridor hallway, and then you have the doors that go into the theater. And they had, you know, a little concession stand, and some merchandise and whatnot. And then the second that you walk into the theater, it's kind of like you're smacked in the face with it. And it smelled so good. And the, like, when you're looking at the proscenium of the stage, they have pies that are, like, in that display case thing. Like, that you would see at any diner rotating, and it was hilarious. And the entire show drop at the very beginning of the show is literally just pie. It's the top of a cherry pie, and it's hysterical. Nice. And it smells like it through the entire show, and I'm like, that is great. It's a great marketing ploy because they actually have a real pie company that makes the pie for them, and they actually have a pie consultant that made sure that it definitely smelled like real authentic pie when it was there. And I didn't get any, but I saw a lot of people who did, and they seemed to enjoy it a lot.
I saw that the actress, Jessie Mueller, she learned how to make a pie because there's one song she's singing, and she makes a whole pie while you watch her sing the song. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So lots of, you know, pie elements.
I know.
We get the pie metaphor.
We get it. I'll say this about this musical. It's like somebody just learned what a metaphor meant. And then they were like, oh, I am going to have fun with this. And then they wrote a whole musical and they put the metaphor into every line.
Right.
That's what I felt like.
It is a little over the top.
It's a little much.
A little too sweet, you know?
A little too sweet. You know what I'm saying?
What other scenes like stood out to you as seeing it live? Like what's a very memorable scene that you were just like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to forget that?
Probably there was a scene with Pomander and Jenna. Where he's doing It Only Takes a Taste, and they're sitting on a park bench, just in the middle of a park, and they're talking about that together. And it was so good because it was so genuine and real. And I love Jessie Mueller, so I was already in cloud nine because I got to see her do it.
Right.
You know, Tony Award winner. And I enjoyed the scene because they both were so real with it that I just felt like I was watching two people talk. And sometimes in Broadway shows, in any theatrical setting, some things are just so hammed up.
Right.
And you can't really all... I mean, not every single show, but sometimes when you think musicals, you just think frivolity and you think, oh, it's going to be a good time. They're going to sing and we're going to go home. You don't sometimes think about the emotional connection you might have with a character or you may go, wow, that was just really good acting. That's what I liked about that scene is you know, the way that he played the role was so sincere and just it was perfect, and I really really enjoyed that scene. And I love that song too. It's one of my favorite songs. One of my favorite songs on the show as well. It Only Takes a Taste, because they just did it so well together. So it stuck out to me a lot. And it was just very basic. It was them sitting on just a lit up park bench, and there was a little bit of background, and that was it. And it was one of the best scenes in the show.
That's really cool. That's cool that a show can do that. Like, when you just have, I find that Hamilton kind of does that a lot, where it's just not a lot's going on. It's just one guy standing there, and that's what carries it. And man, that's impressive when a musical can do that, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll give you kind of an example, plug our show again. For Carousel, what we have a couple moments in the show is we have a very small theater. And so when we want to do a big set change, we have to close a curtain, close a traveler. And, like, we have the scene where Billy and Julie sing If I Loved You. And we literally have them on a park bench. And we just have a drop that is flowers. And it's just a flower drop and them singing. And it's simplistic and it's beautiful and people love it. what they don't see, obviously, behind them is the sets are changing and everything is completely changing on the stage. And that also keeps the audience's attention focused on exactly what we want them to know, which is the storyline between Julie and Billy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about Waitress. And Waitress was good about that because there was a lot of scenes where they were just one section. Like when she's doing the song, The Negative, all you see on stage is like the rest of the shop in a darker light. And then they just have the stalls in the bathroom lit up. Just mm-hmm. a little set piece. They're not utilizing the entire stage because you don't have to.
Right.
And it doesn't take people out of the story. And I like those scenes. I like those kinds of scenes because the audience can, relate to them a little bit more and they're not distracted, which is great.
I was listening to the soundtrack and that's when I realized that the original cast has the girl from Orange is the New Black, Kimiko something.
Oh, the Asian girl, correct?
Kimiko Glenn.
Right.
Yes. And I had told you about that because I was so surprised that that was her because I had no idea she could sing. And I was just, because when she first sings in the opening song, kind of immediately I was like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm a fan of this voice. But then when she sings. Yeah.
Yeah.
When she sings When He Sees Me, I completely changed my mind. And then I realized who it was. And I was like, this is just a world full of surprises. Then I also found out that the other friend is our bearded lady girl from Greatest Showman. So my question is, did you like her song, I Didn't Plan It? Because I know you had some issues with her voice in The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, in The Greatest Showman, she sings This Is Me. That's the most famous one I think she sings. Yeah, and not a fan of her voice. I just felt like it was overbearing in that musical.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, I didn't know it was her. This sounds like kind of biased, but I think if I would have known it was her, I wouldn't have had enjoyed it more. Or enjoyed it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. Like I would have been just like, ugh, it's her, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was her, so I got to enjoy it without thinking that. I actually did enjoy her song, I Didn't Plan It. You know, not one of my favorite songs in the musical, mm-hmm. but there's a few times where I'm like, oh, that does some good little pipes on her. Pipes.
If you say in a different accent, that makes it more clear.
Right.
But now I'm a little confused because are you saying you just have a problem with her in general?
No, I just think if I would have known that going into it, I would have just picked it apart a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, when people like eat something, they're like, oh, that was really good. And then you're like, it was like ox testicles. And they're like, oh, that was gross. And I'm like, you just liked it.
Right. You seem like you've had this exact scenario happen to you recently.
No, I have not. But I'm just saying she's the ox testicles of musicals for me. But if I don't know it going into it, then I can enjoy it more. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
Bearded ox testicles.
So my issue is not like with her at all, but in Greatest Showman, the really like screamy, like, I just like am not into that. And so I felt like in this song, it suited her voice better.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I guess for my taste.
Right. That's what I mean too. Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't like when I found out it was her, I wasn't like, ew. I was just like, oh, well, good. Like this was the kind of music she should be doing where she's not having to like screech. And I understand why that happened. I just, this was her genre.
Yeah. This is a much better role for her. I agree.
By the way, it takes a lot for me to cry on a show.
Mm-hmm.
But when we saw it, when he does his Take It From an Old Man song, oh my God, I was torn apart.
Yeah, that's such a good song. I don't know why.
It was so good.
You know, and there's something, you know, his voice to me, it's not a perfect voice, but it's so appropriate for that role.
Oh yeah, for
and
sure.
And it just, it's so sweet. And I mean, when it's so natural like that, to me, it's just like, it feels like a grandpa singing to you. And I mean, what's more heartwarming than that?
Exactly. And they achieved it perfectly. Because at the very beginning of the show, seeing as he's a very hardened character, it seemed, where he just wanted things his way. He owned the pie shop. He just wanted his breakfast. He wanted his coffee. And that's exactly what he wanted. And he didn't, he was very, I don't want to say rude, but he was just very direct with the girls.
Right.
And you don't see it coming for him to sing the most uplifting song on the show because he knows she's having a hard time. And he wants to make her feel better. And then at the very end, he, you know, gives her the pie chop.
Yeah, and he's saying things like, you know, I see something good that's trying really hard to break through, and I see that, like, you're going to become something great. Like, I don't know, he's saying really nice things to her, and you don't, throughout the musical at first, you know, he doesn't have that kind of kindness showing through him, so it's kind of a nice, like, oh, there is something, there is a heart there.
Right. And in the original movie, he was played by Andy Griffith, and so now I just picture Andy Griffith singing that song, and I just want to cry forever.
That's too much. I actually don't want to think about that.
You know, it's funny. A lot of my friends in the theater world are like, I either love really dramatic musicals or I just want to see something funny and stupid. A lot of the time, people don't think of the in-between, the shows that are real. This, honestly, when it comes to seeing this a Broadway musical, you're probably not going to get much more real than the story in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it deals, obviously, with a lot of social issues. It deals with domestic violence. It deals with, you know, pregnancy, not underage, but like pregnancy for a young person who is by themselves sort of thing.
Right.
It deals with a lot of issues that people don't normally see in a Broadway show. And I think that's what does so well for it, is it is, you know, the most real you're going to get. You're not going to go see Cats and feel like, oh man, I can relate to this.
Right.
But you might see this and go, you know what? Okay. You know, it's an interesting story. And, you know, it's obviously based on a movie premise, but it was still one of the, you know, when I saw it in New York, I saw, you know, Nathan Lane on Broadway in New York. I saw Paramore, Cirque du Soleil. I saw Falsettos. This was honestly my favorite when it comes to story, because it was just, like I said, so real. And I can appreciate that as somebody who studies musicals, because I like every once in a while to see just a funny, dramatic, but just well put together show.
Did you like how it ended?
It's tough. In some ways I did. You know, we've got this woman who doesn't like her husband, and she's cheating on him with a guy who's married. So you don't want her to be with her husband, but you also, like, don't really want her to break up a marriage that seems to be going fine other than the cheating husband. So it's like, it's just a weird place to be in. You know, the ending, she breaks it off with her husband, and then she breaks it off the affair that she's having with the doctor. And it's kind of a fresh start for her, and she opens up this pie shop for her, like, named for her daughter, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do like the ending. The more I think about it, I'm like, it really is her starting over, which is what you want for this character the whole time. And I think that's why you kind of go along with the affair, because it feels like starting over, but it's not the right way to start over. And once she realizes that, she finally kicks into gear, and I think she really gets her life together. So I think I do like the ending.
I think that, like you said, you're like okay and going with the affair because her husband's the worst and he's abusive in, like, lots of different ways. So you're like, that's fine. You know, she needs to move on. But then I think what was just irritating for me was the doctor comes across as this, like, he's just, like, awestruck by her, and he's just, like, so, like, cute and awkward, and then it's like he's been married this whole time, and he just, like, doesn't care, but, like, his wife isn't.
It's the pie metaphor. He says he's on a diet, but then he eats the pie anyway.
Right.
Although we did say the timing of it was really bad. Like, hey, you just had your baby, now you realize that you need to break up with your husband,
like,
and your
literally
affair.
The baby comes out of her, and then she says, we're through, to her husband. So it just all happens so
fast. I mean,
fast.
You know, I've never had a kid, but maybe seeing, like, looking into your child's eyes for the first time just gives you courage to break up with your doctor and your husband. So we always give the musicals, we try to rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. So what would you rate this musical? What would you rate Waitress? That's hard to say. What would you Waitress?
Waitress. I would Waitress, let's see. Oh, man. Taking everything into account, I would probably give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Nice. That's pretty high up there.
And it's very difficult for me to give good ratings to musicals because I am very vicious when it comes to the shows I like and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I because of the music itself, it's pop, but it's not corny. You can leave the theater humming. You know, that's what Rodgers and Hammerstein always said. Make sure that they can leave humming the songs at the very end of the show, because that's how you know it'll be marketable. There was a few songs in Waitress that you could remember opening up. You'll remember on your way home. Mm-hmm. You'll be singing it all night long. And the theatricality of it, the sets, the costumes, the lights, the acting was great. I listened to the album today once again just to get my mind, you know, into what I remember seeing. Just so right. When we talked about it, that would be fresh. But you know, it was just a great show, and yeah, definitely 8.5 out of 10. And I typically don't see shows more than once, but yeah, it's coming to town, and I said I absolutely have to go see it again.
That's really cool. That's a good sign of a good show if you're like, I got to see it again.
Yeah, I will spend the $80 a pop and go see it one more time.
I'm going to give this 7.1.
Okay.
Like we kind of talked about, I'm not a huge fan of the plot, but it was entertaining for what it was. And then the music is really good. It's the best part about it. Very redeeming in that way. There's some sweet moments, no pun intended, but kind of. I think the humor is the best part about this, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how I felt about when we did Wicked. When I saw Wicked, it was like the songs were good. The plot was okay, but the humor was really what made me enjoy it. And yeah. So I think, you know, I would see this live. I would recommend it to people, but it's not something that I would just watch all the time or even listen to all the time, honestly. So, solid 7.5. I mean, 1. So I meant 7.5 minus 0.4.
Oh, of course. Well, also, it was weird because I felt like you just read my mind, because that's what I was going to say.
7.1? Really?
5.
Oh.
That's why I thought, yeah, because you were like 7.5, and I was like, oh, me too.
So what would you give it then?
7.5.
What?
Yeah.
Da-do?
I do. So, yeah, I said before, but plot is not my favorite. It was disappointing because I wanted better for Sarah Bareilles, you know? I wanted her music to go to something, like, a little bit better.
Right, but I think she did a good job.
No, I know that. I'm just saying, like if I wrote my own music and then they came to me with this plot and they were like, so yeah, add your music, I'd be like, can I have something better?
Right, but I will say, though, I mean, we had Lin-Manuel Miranda do In the Heights, which was good, mm-hmm. and then he did Hamilton, which was like, whoa. So, like, maybe this is just, like, you know, the precursor to something great that she's going to come out with, you know, her sophomore debut.
She better not squelch it.
That's what I'm saying.
So, anyways, so plot's not my favorite, but I really, really like the music, like, a lot. So, I feel like that is really what gets it up to a 7.5, just because of the music, and I think I would listen to it more than you, I guess. Like you said, too, I love the humor of it. It's got a lot of good humor, especially So, anyways, solid 7.5.
What, did you just mock me for absolutely no reason?
No, I was just
mocking me for absolutely.
My voice. No. Okay.
Well, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And if you guys ever need anybody else, just give me a shout, and hopefully we do it next time. Our schedules will be a little bit nicer for us.
Right, exactly.
And we can make it happen. But, you know, I figured since I'm here at the theater, I might as well, you know, talk on a Broadway-based podcast while I'm in my dressing room. So.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so appropriate.
It really is.
And so you've got a show tonight, so...
Yes, right? I'm going to be. We are at 30 minutes prior to our call time for a Carousel here at a Francis Wilson Playhouse in Clearwater.
Awesome. Well, good luck tonight. Or break leg, sorry.
Gosh. Thank you. Hey, you know, it's not opening night, so you can get away with it.
Okay.
As we know in the producers, it's bad luck on opening night.
Yes.
So can't say it then.
Well, guys, be sure to tune in next week. We are talking about Newsies. Now, there's two versions of this. There's the Broadway version, which is on Netflix. And yeah, and the Oldies version of Newsies, which is just the movie version, you know, that came out in the 90s. So we'll probably be covering both of them, but mostly be talking about, I think, the Broadway version, just because it's the newer one, it's the hip one, you know.
And isn't that the one on Netflix?
Yes, it is the one on Netflix.
Yeah, so watch it on Netflix, guys. You have Netflix. We know you do.
Yeah. Stop lying to us.
Yeah, you're always lying.
So get on Twitter at, you can follow us at WRLM Podcast or on Instagram at We Really Like Musicals and give us alternate titles for newsies. You know what I'm saying?
I don't.
All right. Well, guys, that's going to do it for We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them. So we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James and
I'm Elise.
I love you like a table. Sugar, butter, flour.
Pop-Tart.
Musicals. Yeah.